This is Andoli. Some analysts say the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict is not far from solution. Some political figures say that the new proposals are better now than the ones presented to the then president Levonter Petrosyan or Heydar Aliyev. But what do you think? Didn't these all events taking place in Armenia affect the peace process negatively?
Yes. One reason being that usually, quite often, in classical political theory and reality, when there's domestic unrest within a country, political leaders oftentimes find reasons to rattle sabers, to initiate conflicts with a real or invented enemy elsewhere. Now, Armenia has been experiencing its worst political violence in over a decade because of last month's presidential elections and the protests by former President Petrosyan against President-elect Sarkisian's apparent victory. And some people might assume that the recent skirmishes between Armenian and Azerbaijani troops over Nagorno-Karabakh are one result of that political violence within Armenia as an attempt to get Armenians' attention off of the recent political elections in Armenia and back onto the Turkic enemy, Azerbaijan, with regard to Nagorno-Karabakh. That may be an interpretation. To what extent it's a reality is not yet clear. But there certainly has been violence within Armenia and an upsurge in violence between Armenians and Azerbaijani military personnel over Karabakh, both of which are detrimental to the peace process.
There are also more stressed comments about the territorial integrity of Azerbaijan, the need of return of all the Azeri population to Nagorno-Karabakh, return of the occupied territories. These are statements that didn't take place in recent years. Do they speak about the weakness of the Armenian side?
No, I don't see this as weakness. I see this as a recognition of what's practical as well as what's moral. It's both moral and practical to avoid going to war, because war merely winds up with people getting killed, leaving a bad taste in the mouths and bad memories in the minds of those who feel they have lost. So war should be avoided at all costs, unless one is being attacked. Then that's another issue, one of self-defense. But to go back to war over disputed territory is probably to be avoided, because one can probably deal with disputed territory through other means. And from my point of view, that's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of weakness in the old traditional realpolitik political paradigm. But it's not a sign of weakness in the world of globalization. It's a sign of strength, a sign of a new wisdom. But it's still hard to convey that new wisdom to people who are still in the old paradigm, still living in history, which is about territory, land, and blood that's been shed to defend land, our Jerusalem, the situation currently being experienced by Serbs with regard to the Albanian Declaration of Independence in Kosovo.
Yes, I'd like just to ask a question about Kosovo. What do you think? Why do America and other countries recognize the independence of Kosovo? They think that Kosovans must live independently, and they don't respect the territorial integrity of Serbia, but they want to respect the territorial integrity of Azerbaijan, when Nagorno-Karabakh is an independent de facto country.
Yeah, it's interesting, Aram. I agree with you. There does seem to be the appearance of mixed or double standards here. I think while one can argue, as the American State Department argues, that the situations of Kosovo and Karabakh are different, they are similar with regard to both wishing to secede from the mother country that's recognized by international law as having territorial integrity. Serbia in the case of Kosovo and Azerbaijan in the case of Nagorno-Karabakh. So why are the Americans different on Kosovo from how they come down on Karabakh, both beginning with a K, which is interesting, if you take out Nagorno. I think the American different positions on Kosovo from their position on Karabakh have to do with a sizable Albanian population in the United States, fairly sizable, including a Kosovar Albanian population which has been influencing American foreign policy. But I also think whether one has Albanians or not in one's country, the pictures of Serb army and Serb paramilitaries genocidally assaulting Albanians during the spring and summer of 1999 was enough to convince anybody that those Albanians should live apart from Serbs, who Albanians feel would otherwise slaughter them. Of course, that was 10 years ago. Many of us forget what Serbia did to the ethnic Albanians, what Serbia did to Croats, indeed what Croats did to Serbs. You know, it worked both ways. But most of all, what Serbs did to Bosnians, including at the Srebrenica from the 11th to the 16th of July 1995, where the bodies are still being dug up. That's the same country of Serbia, which now is defending its territorial integrity. Now, these are different Serbs. Milosevic is no longer in power of Serbia, so it's a new Serbia wishing to get into the EU, which is to retain control over its Jerusalem, which is Kosovo. And I think the Americans haven't been terribly sensitive about that, but there has been a bit of an appearance of a double standard here. This is, again, they're different, but they're similar. Different on one hand, but similar on the other hand, and on the other hand, similar standards should apply. And I think that's where we need working groups internationally, within the EU, within the OSCE, between the United Nations and certain nations, the OSCE Minsk Group, France, Russia, and the United States, which is meant to be facilitating negotiations over Karabakh. All these groupings should become involved in the long term in finding solutions to common, similar problems where the standards are consistent.
So what do you think? Nagorno-Karabakh must resemble Kosovo, or Kosovo must resemble Nagorno?
No, whatever the international community does with one, it should do with the other, and not do different things. So as you were saying, international
Nagorno-Karabakh has the right for self-determination as Kosovo?
Well, if the international community says that Kosovo does, one could ask, why not Karabakh?
Yeah.
But then one should also question whether Kosovo should have its independence. If one doesn't want to have Karabakh have its independence, we have dispossessed peoples in both cases. We have Serbs who've been kicked out of Kosovo. We have Azerbaijanis who've been kicked out of Nagorno-Karabakh. We have Albanians who feel that they've been slaughtered by Serbs, and we have Armenians who feel they've been slaughtered by Azerbaijanis. And within the Armenian historical discourse, Azerbaijanis are viewed as Turks and perceived within a 1915 genocide lens. So this is complicated, and I think it's not as simple either we give them both independence or we don't. I think we should sit down and, at all costs, avoid double standards, but also at all costs, avoid going back to warfare, which I think exists in both cases. I think the Serbs, there are Serbs who are quite willing to kill and die and be killed on behalf of Kosovo, just as there are Azerbaijanis who wish to reclaim Nagorno-Karabakh, and there are clearly Armenians who feel that they're kin have died defending their relatives, their cousins, their brothers and sisters in Karabakh against the 1915 project being completed.
So the last question, very short, please. Do you see any change in the U.S. policy towards Nagorno-Karabakh?
Absolutely. I have, it's a promise rather than a, it's a hypothesis, Aram, rather than a promise, I should say. With the next presidential election and the next president, I foresee there will be some changes in American policy toward the so-called frozen conflicts about secession from a larger entity over territory.
Thank you, Mr. Sandoli, very much. Would you like to add anything?
I would just like to add that it would be great to have a copy of this or to have a link, and also a link to be made to my colleagues at ICAR, Michael Schenck.